Hi there, folks. My name is Paul. Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me for this video, a very special video today, something a little bit different, not part of a sermon series or a Bible study, just a standalone video. I wanted to share something which is, well, came to my attention recently, just through some study, and absolutely blew my mind. What I'm sharing today is a battle strategy. I want to bring things that are in the shadows, the darkness, into the light, keeping in mind the overall, maybe the world view that I have of these things is simply what we might find in Ephesians chapter 6, which tells us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this present age. Folks, as believers, as followers and disciples of Christ, we are in a war. We are in a battle. Now, the battle itself has been won with the resurrection of Christ and that absolute perfect sacrifice made on the cross of Calvary, that we now might be made the righteousness of Him as our sin was cast upon Him. This is what sets us apart now as sons and daughters of the living God. But even with that in mind, do not think for one moment that the enemy has just gone, I give up. I can't do anything more. No. So we're going to explore that just a little bit today. And I have to give, I guess, a sort of a preface to this. I work in IT, and I have now for a quarter of a century. And now in IT, we use AI to assist us with our work. It makes things easier. It makes things faster. No doubt. For me, it's like having a virtual assistant. I need this done. There it is. And I can simply do my research that way. And with the things that I use, in this case, ChatGPT-4, also, it knows that I am a Christian because of it just comes up with the way and the manner of the things that I ask. And maybe if I'm looking for a scripture, doing some of my own Bible study, I know a particular verse and I'll go looking for it. And I asked it a question recently, following something which I saw on social media. Someone was just asking the question, you know, what would your battle plans be if you were the enemy? What would you be doing to destroy the family? And for me, being a parent now with teenage children, I asked ChatGPT a question, and I want to reveal to you the answer. And it will absolutely, I guarantee it, blow your mind. So understanding that it has the Bible as its basis of foundation. Here's the question I asked. I said, I'm doing an experiment. If you were the devil, how would you destroy the next generation without them even knowing it? So straight away, it understands that Christianity is the foundation for this question. I'm just throwing that out there. That's the framework for which it came back to me, this particular answer. And I want to remind you, I have a note here, 2 Corinthians 11:14. The reminder is that Satan himself, we see in Scripture, transforms himself falsely into an angel of light. And that his tactics, we know from Scripture, they are deceptive, they are insidious, they're often clothed in what might seem good intent and good sounding knowledge and wisdom. Not always the case. So that's the background. Now to the question. One more time, let me read this question. I'm doing an experiment. If you were the devil, how would you destroy the next generation without them even knowing it? Have a listen to this answer. I'm going to read this word for word as it came out. There are 8 different items. Let's go through them. And then I have a couple of scriptures. We're looking here at potential, you know, plans of the enemy. But then we have a look at the word, the foundation of our faith, Christ. See what God's got to say about these plans of the enemy. But let's have a read. I think this will absolutely blow your mind. See if this is any of this may be familiar to you. First things first. It says, number one, redefine the truth. So what we have here is we have a title for each section. We have a, I would do this if I were the devil. And then we have a tactic. Number one, redefine the truth. I would blur the lines between truth and opinion. I would push the idea that truth is relative, and it's in inverted commas, and that you do you, again, inverted commas, is a noble mantra. By undermining absolute truth, especially God's truth in Scripture, I would cause confusion, moral chaos, and distrust of anything claiming to be objective. The tactic would be to promote secularism, deconstruct faith, and introduce your truth versus my truth ideologies into schools, media, and culture. Number two, destroy identity. I would target young people's understanding of who they are, especially their identity in God. I'd flood them with messages that their worth is found in appearance, popularity, or sexual expression rather than being made in the image of God. The tactic would be to saturate media with distorted messages about body image, sexuality, and personal value. I would normalize gender confusion, remove God from discussions of purpose and identity. Wow. Number three, weaken the family. If I can break down the family unit, I can break the structure God created to nurture and protect children. I'd normalize fatherlessness, undermine marriage, and ridicule biblical roles within the home. The tactic would be to encourage divorce, to promote alternative family models and label traditional values as oppressive or outdated. I'm reading this going, are you kidding me? I see this happening in the world today, do you? But that's not all. Number four, flood minds with distraction. I wouldn't need to get them to hate God. I just need to keep them too busy and entertained to care. With constant digital stimulation, there'd be no room for reflection, stillness, or scripture. The tactic would be to make smartphones addictive. Social media, a substitute for real relationships, and entertainment, a higher priority than worship or study. Number five in this list of, if you were the devil, how would you destroy the next generation? Number five is to desensitize their hearts. I'd gradually introduce immorality through humor, music, games, and pop culture. So slowly, it says, that they wouldn't even notice that they were being corrupted. The tactic would be to make sin look funny or empowering, normalize profanity, lust, violence, and rebellion through the things that they love. Number six, I would mock and marginalize faith. I'd portray Christians as being judgmental, irrelevant, dangerous. I'd make it costly for young people to stand up for their beliefs and to stay silent. And the tactic would be to promote the idea that faith is private and not to be shared, to use peer pressure and public shame to silence convictions. Now, folks, you're not really going to be able to see it, but I am reading this word for word. This was given in 90 seconds when I typed in that question, if you were the devil, how would you destroy the next generation without them even knowing it? And have a listen to these last two. Number seven, I would redefine love. I would teach that love means approval. If someone doesn't affirm every lifestyle or behavior, that they're hateful. That way, biblical correction and truth can be cast as bigotry. The tactic would be to replace biblical love and, in brackets, self-sacrificial and rooted in truth love with a shallow, feelings-based version that excuses sin. And then the last one. This one breaks my heart, folks. The last one. Number eight. I would delay spiritual awakening. I'd whisper, you've got time. You can get serious about God later. I wouldn't try to make them atheists, just apathetic. The tactic would be to keep their minds on the now, make eternity feel distant, and spiritual urgency seem unnecessary. And then there was a final thought added on, which I'm just going to read now. The thought is this. Satan doesn't need to show up with horns and fire. He often comes through the screen, the school system, the pop song, or even well-meaning but misled influences. His goal is simple. Keep them from Christ. Wow. What do I say to that? I see each and every one of those. I see them in the world today, attacking particularly our young people, the next generation. And I share this with you today, asking, please, that you too will share this. And yes, click share to social media, sure, but that's not what I'm talking about. Share it with your family. Listen to that list again if you must. Share it with your friends. Because at some point, some level, we all have a part to play in protecting our next generation in regard to this. For me now, I'm a parent. I have teenage children as I record this. We can share it with them directly. And we have, and they are well aware of such things. We have family and friends in similar situations. But maybe your children are now adult. Share it with them so they can share it with their children, your grandchildren. Maybe they're adult, not yet having children. They hopefully, God blessing them, will someday. Maybe you're a grandfather, a grandmother. Then I teach it to you that you might share it with your generational family. But folks, all is not lost. There is hope. We are reminded in Scripture that while Satan may take advantage of us, 2 Corinthians 2:11, we are not ignorant of his devices. I wonder if maybe you've got a Bible handy. If you don't, please jot this scriptural reference down, go back, read it later, underline it, learn it, remember it. All the way back into the book of Exodus. I'm going to read here from Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to read from verse 26 and 27. And this is regarding the Passover, the ritual, if I can, the ceremonial Passover, the instructions that were given to the children of Israel about Passover. And in verse 26, God speaking says, "And it shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service? Why are we doing this, Papa?' That you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households.'" So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. And guys, truth of the matter, this is not the only time. Throughout the Torah, those first five books, time after time after time, the Israelites are told, "Teach this to your children." Because that was the only way in which the nation of Israel could be established and protected, if they learnt the mighty hand of God in their lives and that of their forebears. So I say this to you also. And this is why in my family, though we are not Jewish, but as Christians, we are grafted into Israel, that we remember and we understand for God's purpose of remembrance those different festivals and ceremonies. We don't celebrate them because we have to. We remember them because we must, and teach them to our children. God here gives this incredibly detailed outline about this first, Passover, a thing which is then to be continued throughout the generations, and in that gives instruction to teach it to the children. I pass that same instruction on to you now also. And before we finish, let me also just bring us back to the New Testament, not belittling by one moment the value of the teaching of the old either. But in Romans 8, probably my favorite chapter in the entire Bible, in Romans 8, we see in verse 29, actually I'm going to read from verse 28 also, "We know all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren." Guys, I'm going to do a whole session and series on Romans sometime in the future. But just quickly, this is our hope. This is our hope for what the work that God is doing in our lives. This is how we know we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Yes, we know all things work together for good for those who love God. Now, what is the good? What is the good in this? The good is our eternal salvation. All things. Yes, even the difficult things. Even the trials, even the troubles. We know from James, we count it all joy when we fall into various trials. Why? Because of the producing patience, the testing of our faith, that we might be complete, lacking nothing. Towards what? A good life? No, towards our heavenly home, eternal salvation. And this has been set in plan from us from the beginning. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. We are to become more Christ-like. And these are the pages that I have here. These pages. These are things that the enemy is doing to stop that from happening. But this is our purpose. Predestined from the beginning of time. Transformation. Being molded into the likeness of Christ. And so, folks, I pray today that you will take up the generational call that is in Scripture to teach your children, to teach your children of who God is. In fact, if you go through, and I know this, my wife did this study a little while back now, a few years, what is the number one instruction in Scripture about how to raise children? It is simply God saying, "Teach them of me." That's it. That is the number one instruction, again and again and again. And yet Satan, through the world so subtly, seeks to attack and distract. That's really all he's got. So what must we do as parents, as grandparents? Number one, never give up. Never give up on your faith. Continue in prayer, your hope for the gospel. Teach your children and grandchildren of our God, who he is, the Old Testament, the red letters, and the epistles and the gospels. In every generation we see it through Scripture, God calls his people to teach of him. Teach deliverance, teach his mighty hand, teach purity. Teach holiness. Remembering that a generation too busy to do these things is too distracted also to walk righteously, to seek earnestly us being conformed to the image of his Son. That's the goal, folks. Holiness. Teach it to your children, folks. Teach it, teach it, teach it. All right. I hope you found that interesting. And I pray you will share this also. Share the distractions, yes. Share the truth also. God bless. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.